Welcome to America Tonight. This is Kate Delaney. We rock and roll coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. We love the flyover states as well. How you doing out there? I'll tell you what the huge news, the rumble across the backyards in America is. It's over Afghanistan and how many of our troops are going to be withdrawn. You think of the money that's been spent so far in Afghanistan and the years invested, same as Iraq, you know, over a decade. Hamid Karzai seems antsy to take the reins of his country back. But will the Taliban and Al-Qaeda dig in as well? New polls show that most Americans, up to 75%, according to thehill.com, don't think we should be in these long, drawn-out conflicts where we walk away with nothing and have spilled a lot of blood and spent a lot of money. Some would-be presidential candidates have talked about it, and one who declared to be in the race for president on the Republican side, Congressman Ron Paul, has said all along that we shouldn't be involved in some of these foreign conflicts because we can't afford them. Others would say we can't afford not to be there. How could we not have helped? How could we not be in that situation where we were trying to thwart the so-called terrorists? I mean, terrorism is such an elusive thing. It's hard to manipulate that word because now the scary deal is you've got homegrown terrorists who are involved in whatever you want to call the conflict. You have Hamas, you have other terror cells, you have Al-Qaeda, you have the Taliban, and a slew of others that have loose connections to maybe a couple of those groups. Doing what we did in Afghanistan, did that make America a safer place? I mean, what are the three questions you have to ask yourself about Afghanistan? Are we making a difference and should we try to keep as many troops there while we draw down? Is this country better off than it was before? And can it sustain itself? Can it sustain itself? Now, on Wednesday, you're going to hear that speech, that all those three questions will be answered, that amazing progress, proud of the troops, which, of course, we're proud of the troops, talking specifically about the security measures that have come to pass in Afghanistan. I bet you'll hear about that. Ultimately, what the end game is, and who do you think's excited about this? I'd say Al-Qaeda is. I'd say Al-Zawahiri is excited about this as the new leader, the so-called figurehead of Al-Qaeda. And, of course, the race is on to get him as well. But you may have had family members who sacrificed for one or two of these wars. You may have done it yourself. Many have called this show. We've talked to so many people, young and older, on both sides of the spectrum, that have been involved in Iraq or Afghanistan, and how tough it is coming back. We're seeing 18 suicides a day because people, many of the people on the front line, saw some just horrific things that you cannot even imagine if you haven't been in a war situation up close and personal like that, especially the way it happens now, where you might have a kid that with a bomb strapped to him, or an older person who approaches them, or what's very common, the IEDs still implanted in the roads, the roadside bombs that go off. And while now some of the vehicles are much better equipped to handle those blasts, you still have many that can't. And we've seen the casualties as a result of that. So how many troops will be withdrawn? The number that I heard, I'll say it if you haven't heard any of the previous shows I've done, is 35%, a 35% withdrawal within the next month and a half, and really by the end of July. That could be significant. And what happens to the other countries who, while it may be a smaller amount, because we're talking 100,000 or so for the United States, whether you're talking about Australia or you're talking about the UK, any of the other allies, how many men do they leave? Are they all pulling out? Of course, we've heard that from the UK that it'll be, it's pretty much done for them. They're going to start to do that same thing with the amount that they've got. It's interesting because this comes when Prince Harry goes back into the conflict, but I think that the Afghanistan story is huge in the sense that the polls, the people running against Obama are talking about this. We can't afford this. The economy is in trouble. People are in trouble. We've got to do something different here. All right, I'm going to switch gears and throw to my friend Roger Madden, who talks about Boeing and the connection to, oh yeah, a government company.
Anybody that believes that the Boeing company is not a product of the free market, but rather an extension of the United States government, please raise your hand. Socialists need not participate. This is Roger Madden, and this is what I think. Today in the Wall Street Journal, Thomas Gehagan, labor lawyer for labor unions throughout the country, bemoans the fact that high-cost union jobs in the North are leaving for standard-cost non-union jobs in the South. Now get this. He's not complaining about jobs leaving the United States of America to China or India or Bangladesh. He's complaining that American jobs in the South are competing in labor costs with those American jobs in the North. I thought we fought that war in 1776. And in fact, I thought we fought that war again in 1861. Will somebody please grab Gehagan and sit him down in front of a map of the United States of America and give this man a geography lesson? What Gehagan is referring to is the recent decision by the National Labor Relations Board in issuing a complaint against Boeing because it decided to build a new plant in South Carolina to produce its new Dreamliner. It seems that, according to Gehagan, Boeing's union employees located in the state of Washington are working for $28 per hour, and its employees in South Carolina are receiving not a buck an hour, perhaps in, like in China, but working for a miserable $14 an hour. By the way, miserable is how Gehagan describes it, not me. By my calculation, that's about $30,000 a year, not including overtime, health, and pension benefits. And Boeing doesn't seem to have a problem getting qualified applicants to work for that miserable $14 an hour. In his article in the Wall Street Journal, he says Boeing is an extension of the United States government. Okay, you may put your hand down now and raise your fist. This is Roger Madden, and that's what I think.
All right, thanks, Roger. Interesting because, you know, all the conversation about Boeing and the contracts, as you just heard his take there. I love when Roger said, raise your hand, and except for if you're a socialist. So much of what Madden is talking about is part of the conversation at the dinner tables over what's going to happen in this next election. And you can be sure that in the next year, we're going to be bringing you wall-to-wall coverage on that. I was thinking the other day, the Republican convention is in Tampa in August, 1 year from this August, so what, 12 months we're talking about. And look at what's happened so far early going in this one. No, I don't think a really clear-cut front runner at this point. Although Ron Paul's emerging on one side, heard about Michelle Bachmann. Of course, Mitt Romney's name comes up a lot in the polls, but way too early to tell. Lots more coming your way next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Where can you find a super strength potassium iodide supplement? Right here at ThyroidKI.com. With global radiation levels at record highs, is your thyroid safe from radioactive iodine poisoning? Potassium iodide, the key ingredient in Thyroid KI, is proven to block radioactive iodine from damaging your thyroid. Thyroid damage is permanent and can lead to thyroid cancer. Unlike other potassium iodide products, Thyroid KI is formulated in convenient 32.5 milligram tablets and is independently tested for purity with a 100% money-back guarantee. With limited stock selling fast, act now. Prepare yourself and protect your family. Use coupon code THYROID for a 10% discount. Visit ThyroidKI.com. That's Thyroid, the letter K, the letter I.com. ThyroidKI.com or call 855-599-9444. 855-599-9444. Again, that's 855-599-9444.
Walking empty streets become my church. Temple with a thousand different names. If you won't let me have you through my head, think I'm just gonna play with someone else.
Welcome back to America Tonight, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. Kate Delaney is always happy to be the captain of this ship. You know how much I love music. We've talked about one of my favorite bands, Shoddy, and what it was like for them when they were breaking in Seattle. Well, now we're going to introduce you to a New York City musician. His name is Barton David, and you're listening right now to his single. That single is Keep It to Forget. Barton, thanks for popping on ATN and hanging with us.
Sure, Kate. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay, so let's roll back. Did you always want to be a musician when you were growing up? Is it just something you kind of fiddled around with and then, man, it just struck you between the eyes? This is my passion. This is what I want to do. I don't care if people try to discourage me.
Yeah, you know, I kind of always did want to do that. You know, I grew up listening to records. My dad was a college DJ, so I grew up with a pretty extensive, you know, record collection and, you know, played in band and when I was a kid, but never really had any musical training, and still don't. But yeah, always kind of, you know, wanted to be a musician as far back as I can remember.
So what drew you to New York? Did you think that would give you a better chance to get heard, to play in some more clubs, that kind of thing? Was it a personal reason why you went to New York and, man, I'm trying to do this music thing? Or was it really strictly music?
I wouldn't say it was strictly music. You know, there's a great, great music scene here for sure. But it was a number of things. I was always kind of fascinated with New York. And you know, a good friend of mine says a lot that the community is greater than coordinates, you know, just meaning that, you know, where you are isn't as important as being around like-minded people. And I kind of felt like spending enough time here, this was sort of the place to be around those people.
Yeah.
So that played a big part. And why I decided to move here.
And you're, like so many, you're self-produced. You've got, obviously, people helping you. You've got an indie producer who mixed things up with you. In fact, the producer, I think, is somebody who was with Sonic Youth. Am I right?
That was our mixer, actually. Yeah, John Yellow has worked with Sonic Youth and Dinosaur Jr. And just a great guy. He's been around the kind of the indie scene for a long time. did a great job, you know, mixing my record.
Yeah. When you went to do this, when you went to cut a, I'll call it cutting a record. I mean, it's so different really from what we think it is. Like you were talking about playing records when you were a kid. What was that experience like for you? How did, you know, did you, you're writing music obviously, right? You wrote a lot of your own tunes, I'm assuming.
Wrote all the tunes myself. Yeah. It was great. I mean, it was a real a learning experience because I've been, you know, I've been sort of making my own albums for a long time. So I used to have a home studio back in Texas, but you know, it was a different kind of a different ballgame being in a you know, a professional studio, and so it was a great experience. But it's, you know, it's draining for sure making a record. It's definitely not easy to get what's in your head on tape.
Now let's talk about what you like to play the best, because when you were a kid, didn't you play the French horn, you played the saxophone, and now you're playing guitar. So you must have had a gift for music. How did you know what was the right thing for you to do? What was the right instrument to hook into? Not that you couldn't play all of them, I guess, but how did you know what was the right comfortable thing to do?
I just sort of fell into it. My little brother, I think, you know, had a classical guitar laying around that, you know, had taken lessons and quit, and I just kind of picked it up and started, you know, messing around with it, and then kind of ditto for piano. You know, to this day, never took any lessons, just kind of, you know, pounded the keys, and, you know, with guitar, mostly learned to play by, you know, just trying to play songs that were on the radio today. For me, it was, you know, all the grunge stuff kind of back in the 90s, so... just kind of happened onto it, you know, organically.
Yeah. Yeah, good for you. That's how a lot of things happen these days, as you know. So how tough is it? How do you, you know, you're an independent artist, and how do you get yourself out there? Of course, iTunes, everybody can pick up your single and pick up your LP, basically, on iTunes once all that drops. But how do you get yourself out there? What do you do?
You know, it's tough. I've kind of taken an unorthodox approach, you know, instead of like, the best way to do it is still just to get out and get in front of people and play as many dates as you can. I've kind of held off doing that on my own. I've played a lot of shows with other people doing backing vocals or guitar, but really wanted to wait till I kind of had something to promote, because you kind of only get one chance to make a first impression. But, you know, so playing live shows is a big part of it, and then just, you know, sort of meeting people in different types of media that can help you is always great. And then obviously the digital thing is kind of its own animal. There's all kinds of digital marketing tools, you know, that are helpful to indie artists for sure.
Yeah. And what would you say your sound is? Because people were listening to that single. How would you describe your sound? What would you say your music is?
I come from, you know, folk, you know, sort of Greenwich Village folk, you know, Tim Harden, Joni Mitchell, those people, and definitely R&B, you know, 70s R&B and soul music is a huge influence for me. Ever since I was a kid, that was maybe my favorite, kind of my favorite genre. And then classical music, I still love quite a bit. So I hope to incorporate a little bit of all of that into some of these tunes.
Yeah. Martin David, love that single. Good luck to you. Keep doing it. Keep getting out there in front of people, and we'll be looking for your name, and we appreciate it.
We really appreciate it. It's Martin Stanley David, by the way. I hate to correct you, but if you want to find that on iTunes, you got to use the three names.
Okay, Barton Stanley. Got to get that Stanley in there. Barton Stanley David. Excellent. Thank you, Barton.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right, we go from Barton Stanley David to, as somebody who's trying to make it in the music business, is to somebody who made it in the music business, and she can't get her act together. Amy Winehouse has written some wonderful songs, but she cannot stay sober, it seems. She had some disastrous performances over the weekend in a Serbia concert. Anyway, take a listen to this.
Let me tell you something, right? Oh!
Yeah, you could see she was kind of waning, and there was some booze in the background if you couldn't clearly hear that. So here's the scoop. She was toasted. I mean, she was fried. So she was on a European tour, and she was supposed to go to Istanbul and Athens. Ooh, Athens. Can you imagine? Things are already rocky in Greece with their monetary system. Then you throw in an Amy Winehouse into the mix. So that's all done. They say she can't perform. That the only thing they'll say is that, look, she just can't perform to the best of her ability. That's it. That she, you know, these people are shelling out money and they're seeing these half-baked performances. Clearly, she did 1 week in rehab and she's not together. She doesn't have her act together. So it's interesting to see how the business, someone can explode like an Amy Winehouse, who's unique, has a different kind of sound, had a couple of hit songs, and then all the others who are trying to make it and they're banging their heads every day just trying to get appearances. It's one of those strange kind of professions where you got to have the passion. You got to have the passion to hang in there. That's why I thought it'd be interesting to do a segment on music, because as so many of you listening to this show know, I don't care if you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, I think anybody even still in their 50s, you probably have an iPod and you're downloading music to that or to your phone. I mean, really, everybody's doing it through their phone now if you have an Android or whatever. And that's how you're listening to tunes. You're getting them that way. So you could compile your own lists from iTunes, grab some new stuff, and it makes it a different kind of world when it comes to music and how it's played and how somebody gets heard. And sometimes somebody can come out of nowhere and suddenly catch the buzz. And I think in a good way, iTunes has kind of leveled the playing field, but in the same sense, it's also made it a little bit tougher as well. Of course, you have these shows, like I mentioned, American Idol or The Voice, and I think there's a couple of others that are popping up. Because, you know, everybody imitates when something's successful. And that means hundreds and thousands of people line up across America and Georgia and Illinois and Vermont and New York just for a crack at getting heard so they can make it on a television show and maybe get a record deal. Crazy, crazy thing. We're talking about the budget deficit next.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You've heard a lot lately about zeolite, but what is it and why do you need it? Zeolite is a beautiful, complex, crystalline structure that encapsulates radiation and odors. ZeoKing Zeolite naturally eliminates radiation poisoning your body may pick up from x-rays, security scanners, or nuclear fallout. ZeoKing flushes environmental toxins absorbed from smoke, cell phones, and chemicals, so it detoxifies heavy metals including mercury, lead, and cadmium. ZeoKing Zeolite helps boost your immune system, allowing your body to balance itself and cut off food supply to cancer and parasites. Order your ZeoKing Zeolite now from ZeoKing.com for only $39.99 and receive a free month supply with every order. Call 888-402-6779. That's 888-402-6779. Or visit ZeoKing.com. That's ZeoKing.com for natural elimination of radiation poisoning.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
235 years ago, our forefathers signed the Declaration of Independence to escape tyranny and oppression. Today, there is a need to reinforce that declaration. What can we do to protect our health as a nation and in our homes from those who wish to control the quality of our air and water? To find out, you need to visit airandaqua.com right now or call 612-767-2777. You will receive a free copy of our Constitution, a newsletter, and bonus items. Air and Aqua. Aqua.com. Purify your life today.
You know that drinking pure, high alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. And most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
You're going to love our next guest. In fact, right now he's in our virtual green room putting down either a bottle of water or maybe an expensive latte. I'm not sure. So, John Hinderrocker. Many of you might be familiar with him. He is a conservative blogger, Powerline. You know Powerline. And this is what's really cool. If you've heard Limbaugh's program, which I know many of you have lately, then you probably have heard this mentioned. Powerline is holding a whopper of a contest, $100,000 prize, first prize, for, check this out, this is the part I like, the most creative dramatization. Boy, we already have that in Washington, don't we? We have the federal debt crisis. I mean, we're talking sky's the limit, I'm assuming. Songs and poems and videos, all that kind of stuff would probably qualify. And the focus is on the debt crisis. How many times have we beaten this drum? I think it's such a great idea. John, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Kate, it's great to be with you.
What prompted you to throw out this contest? I think it's a great idea, but what led to that?
A couple of things, Kate. One, we at Powerline, and you know, it's a website I have with a couple of friends, believe that the federal debt crisis is just a huge, huge problem. Our federal government is mortgaging our children's future, and a lot of people don't understand that. And in very, very rough terms, I would say that maybe a third of the population gets it. They understand that we're $14 trillion in debt right now. Those are real dollars. It's real money. That debt will be repaid with interest by our children. About a third of the population has absorbed that fact. Another third or so of the population, roughly speaking, may or may not really understand the debt crisis, but it doesn't matter because they are economically locked into payments from the federal government. When a federal government spends $3 to $4 trillion a year, it buys a lot of loyalty, right? And
yeah.
So there's a number of people who are just committed economically to federal spending, and they just don't want to hear about any spending cuts. And then there's about a third of the population that really hasn't focused on the issue, that doesn't fully appreciate the severity of the debt crisis, doesn't really have an opinion one way or the other, and is amenable to persuasion. And a lot of those people are young. You know, I've often said, Kate, that if young people in America really understood what our government is doing to their futures,
right,
they would be out in the streets marching.
I agree. Absolutely. 100%. They have no idea. I mean, it's all fun to be distracted by some of the reality television, and I think that, you know, you need a lighter side in your life. But, boy, some of these kids, they need to get their head out of the sand and really wake up and hear what you're saying, what we've been saying on America Tonight. It's going to hit them right between the eyes. And I think because we're the future, we're the generations in front of them, we owe it to them to try to fight this battle, too, which I think that's what you're saying as well.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the idea of a prize, of offering a cash prize, is an old conservative concept, you know, that economists tend to like and a lot of conservatives historically have liked. And I don't know, I just had the idea, you know, of going out and raising a bunch of money and saying, look, I'm just a lawyer. I'm not creative. You know, my partners at Powerline, they're lawyers, too. You know, we don't know how to make paintings or write poems or songs or create videos. But what we do know is, you know, how to organize something like this, how to go out and raise some money from supporters and offer it as a prize. And so that was the genesis of the Powerline Prize. And so we're doing this in conjunction with a group called the Freedom Club, which is a conservative group here in Minnesota that I'm a member of and a past president of. And we're offering a $100,000 grand prize to whatever entry in the contest we think is the most effective at communicating the severity of the federal debt crisis. There's also a $15,000 runner-up prize, and there are two $5,000 third-place prizes. And if you, if our listeners go to powerlineprize.com, they can read all about the contest. It explains how to submit entries either electronically or physically by mail. Yeah, the contest rules, it's all there at powerlineprize.com.
Is there a cutoff date, which I'm sure it tells you there, but is there a cutoff date? When is this all done?
Yeah, absolutely. Right, midnight, July 15th is the cutoff. And so there's plenty of time. There's 3 or 4 weeks. But any of our listeners who are hearing this and thinking, wow, I know how to make a video or I can write a song or whatever it might be, it's time to get started. Take a look at powerlineprize.com and get to work. You know, Kate, I didn't think we'd get any entries until July 14th, you know, the day before the contest. I'm not sure why anybody would send their entry in like 5 weeks ahead of time, and yet a number of people have, and we've gotten a couple of good songs, a couple of paintings, a number of videos, some of which are really excellent. We've got a 91-page screenplay that somebody sent in. So there's all kinds of artistic media involved here. One thing I'd love to see is video games. If we have listeners out there who know how to create a video game, that would be a great way of dramatizing to a lot of young people the reality of this debt crisis.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this back and forth and this nonsense and the grandstanding and everything else that's already happened, and we talk about this every single day, John. It's just crazy. How do you think this plays out? Because now it's coming to a crescendo in, you know, this next month or so as we've crashed our head against the debt ceiling and arguing about whether to raise the debt ceiling and what's going to happen there. And Tim Geithner, every once in a while, he's like whack-a-mole. He pops back up again and he starts to threaten that this has to happen. How do you think all of this plays out?
Well, Kay, you're exactly right. In fact, we tried to time the contest to have impact with respect to that immediate issue of the debt ceiling. But the reality is that we're going to be debating this whole issue of federal spending, federal debt, federal deficit for at least the next couple of years. You know, right now we haven't got a budget.
Yeah.
You know, it's been more than 2 years since the Democrats in Congress passed any budget. It's unbelievable, a complete dereliction of duty. And the reason is that they don't want to put down in black and white what they are really intending to do to America's young people. And so this is a battle that's not going to be over in August. It's not going to be over in September. You know, certainly there are going to be important events taking place, you know, in those months. But I think it's going to be over the next couple of years, really, that this battle is going to be fought of, are we going to get federal spending and federal debt under control.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's very, very sad for the leveraging the future of America and all of those people that are coming out of college, people that have just come out of college, You think of the future generations and that number, just the number, 14 trillion plus really is a staggering number. John, you know this, you're a lawyer. Is just the craziest number?
It's unbelievable. And I think, you know, for a lot of people, and this is one of the reasons why, you know, we want artistic people and creative people to help us to bring this home, because for most people, including you and me probably, Kate, you know, a million is a big number, a billion is a big number, a trillion is a big number, and it's very difficult for us to really grasp what it means to be $14 trillion in debt and to understand that those debts are very real. They will be repaid with interest. If we don't borrow at the federal level another dollar, there's $14-plus trillion that will be repaid with interest. That doesn't even go to the unfunded liabilities of the government in terms of entitlements. If you add in the unfunded entitlement promises, they're not really obligations, but
right,
promises, that's more like $100 trillion.
Yeah. To get to that point in the first place, if it were you, John, and you were there and you had a vote in this, would you just start cutting? Would you just say, listen, we've got to cut the nonsense and go deeper, deeper, deeper?
I absolutely would. I mean, I think everything has to be on the table. I think there are no sacred cows, frankly, even including defense. I think we should be most reluctant to cut defense. But I know, I've talked to Donald Rumsfeld about this, for example. I mean, you know, there's a lot of wasted money in the Pentagon. There are dollars that can be cut. So I think every single program has to be on the table. And personally, I would not vote to increase the debt limit. I would say we're done borrowing, and obviously we're not going to default. You know, the Tim Geithner and so forth want to say, oh, no, if we don't increase the debt limit, we'll default. That's ridiculous. That's not true at all. If we don't increase the debt limit, we'll pay the bonds as they come due. But what mm-hmm. we will have to do is cut other spending, and that's what the Democrats are so afraid of.
Right, because then, like you said in the very beginning, now they have to go on the record and they have to attach their name to it. And that's, I think, the hide-and-seek part of this. They don't want to have to do that. They don't have to be accountable.
So we want to bring clarity to this process. We want to try to influence the debate to the extent that we can. We're just a handful of guys, you know, but we want to do our part. And so if our listeners go to powerlineprize.com, they can learn all about it. That's powerlineprize.com. $100,000 grand prize. Mm. And, Kate, you know, one of the contest rules, of course, is that all entries, and I'm sure there's going to be certainly hundreds of entries, if not thousands, all entries will become our property. And so we think we're going to get a lot of good entries, whether it's videos, songs, video games, paintings, PowerPoints, you name it. We think there's going to be a bunch of them. And so we're going to disseminate them not only on our website, Powerline, but through our friends on the Internet who are Legion. We're going to make them available, for example, if they're videos, anybody around the country who wants to spend a little money to buy commercial TV time and put these videos on as a TV commercial, he can have them for free. You know, we'll disseminate them as widely and as broadly as we can. Mm. You know, just to take one example, Kate, I hate rap music. Let me just talk, right. you know, it's a generational thing. Hate it, right? Mm. But, you know, we may get some good rap, you know, tunes or whatever you call them.
Sure.
That would be effective in communicating with a segment of our, you know, key segment of our population with young people. And if we get some, you know, we'll put them out there.
All right. So I think it's a wonderful opportunity. Pay attention. Check it out. PowerlinePrize.com. John, thanks for popping on.
Thank you, Kate. Bye-bye.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need MyPillow, guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, MyPillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. MyPillow has a natural, built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. MyPillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I must have dreamed a thousand dreams.
As we headed for the exits, a little odds and ends for you, bringing it full circle. Of course, when we first jumped on the air, we took you to Washington, and the big news is the fact that there wasn't much talk about it, and suddenly the White House releases a statement saying they're going to talk about strategy, they're going to talk about drawdown of troops on Wednesday, meaning the president is going to talk about that. And you wonder, 2 years ago, 30,000 troops, part of that surge, how many are coming back? So will the headline say, U.S. troops back home? Well, I mean, what does that mean? No hint of how many. Although my source in the Pentagon says probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 35% to 40%. Others think that it's going to be a little bit lower than that, so maybe somewhere in between. There are some that don't think that there should be a drawdown of troops because they're concerned about what will happen in Afghanistan, because 10 years and counting is a long time to invest. You know my feelings, we need to cut and run, because it has been nothing but heartache, mayhem, and I don't understand the point. While we cannot seem to get back into the black, we just spend all this money, all this foreign aid, when we cannot afford it. I get it that we're the United States. I get it that we want to help our allies and we want to help people all over the world whenever we can. Absolutely. But the problem is that coupled with outrageous spending, and we were just talking about that, has put us in this crunch that is a rabbit hole we can't get out of if we continue to go on at this pace for at least a decade or more. That's just no good. That won't work. And there's also conversation about cutting off money for Libya. saying no more here, because by September, yes, the burden so far is on NATO, which, by the way, we are a part of. Okay, we're not the front runners or the people carrying the ball as we were right from the get-go, but we're still involved. We're still involved in this, and it's going to be up to $1 billion with all the things, the other aid that we've provided in Libya. So Gates, who's leaving, is warning, do not cut off military involvement in Libya, because Gaddafi forces will prevail. And that's the strangest thing. It's been over 90 days, and Gaddafi still stands. How is this? If he's the evil enemy, he's pulling off a somewhat a genocide, certainly of shooting people in the streets, is that what was proclaimed that was happening? And it was. There were certainly innocent people that were getting nailed in the middle of this thing. That's why so many fled. You're stuck. I mean, what do you do in this situation? The answer is you don't get that deep into it in the first place, because you cannot play chess with all these different countries as we continue to see more dominoes fall in these administrations. Just cannot do it. Take one. Let's go to Sam in Montreal. Hello, Sam.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Sam? What's on your mind?
Oh, first of all, lovely.
All right. You're doing good. I love it.
Yeah. Okay. First of all, I spoke to our favorite rabbinical. Now you can add Masters of Educational Administration to his resume. We were talking about first. Okay. With that other stuff that happened last week, we'll talk about it at a later date. You know what I'm talking about. The Boston Bruins. But, he's sort of worried with what's going on in, you know, with Libya, and now that Mubarak might be put on trial, and now he's claiming, I guess you heard, that he has cancer. I don't know if you heard that.
Yes, I did hear that, yes.
Okay, so I'm asking how you're feeling. Well, some of his friends who are teaching in towns that are, you know, let's say are bordering like Egypt and Jordan and stuff like that, they're getting worried because they couldn't get bombarded again. And he's worried that, I don't know if it'll happen, but he might get some real super religious Muslims taking over the country, with all the respect to Muslims who listen to your show, and thinking that, you know, Israel should be wiped off the map. And that's what he's worried about. And that's what some of his other friends are worried about. But then he's got other friends who are saying, don't worry, Israel will prevail. So take it, you know.
I think Israel prevails. I agree with his friends that say that. I remember, sure, smaller forces, smaller country, needs the help, all that, but still very well-trained, capable people, very smart, very, very well-trained. What do we say all the time, Sam, that everybody has to do their time in the military?
Right.
And I think that there's something to be said for that.
Well, Steve will be doing his time in October after the high holidays, but because he is a rabbi, he automatically becomes a commissioned officer.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, but unfortunately, when you're a rabbi, mostly it's graves, registration, meeting the religious needs of
the troops, the soldiers, yeah.
Yeah, so, but I said, I asked him, would you see any action? He goes, he may have to go into, if there is action if a body, you know, someone was killed, to, you know, say the prayers and prepare the body to be shipped to that person's hometown or wherever for burial. But otherwise, you know, he basically stays out. So in a way, his parents are relieved, and so am I, because who else would I have to talk to about hockey in Israel? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Hats off to your nephew. I love following his story.
And congratulations to the Boston Bruins for winning the Stanley Cup. They rightly deserved it. And just to let your people know in the States, the people who caused that riot in Vancouver were not true hockey fans.
No, they weren't.
No, they were blank disturbers.
Right, and they were anarchist type of guys that were involved in a few other things, yeah.
Right, so, you know, and now, in fact, one of the people who did it, whose picture was taken, he turned himself in to the police. He had a chance to make Canada's national water polo team. Water Polo Canada saw this and said, guess what? you ain't on the team because of this.
Good for them. They should have cut him out because that was embarrassing and awful what Vancouver did. Such a beautiful place. And, you know, one thing, if people go a little crazy, but that wasn't a little crazy. That was nuts. That was looked like a full-fledged riot. And it was crazy. The scene was so unnecessary and terrible for the police there that had to go in with shields and everything else because of all the stuff that was being thrown at them. So, that was very, very poor. Sam, thanks for the call.
Take care.
All right, so bringing you back around again, and Sam mentioned a couple of things, and we've talked about that, what happened when Boston won in Vancouver, a lot of people thinking it was just hockey fans, and of course it wasn't. There may have been a few involved, but it was not really a hockey crowd. The other thing that was big that came down during the day, and there's going to be repercussions, I'm sure, over this too, a Supreme Court ruling on Walmart. This has been brewing for a while. Class action suits can be pretty big, especially harassment suits. And the Supreme Court's decision was pretty interesting. They decided to, they decided basically to toss the sex bias case, decided not to side with the sexual harassment group. So this is a big corporation. It was a 5-4 decision. And they basically said it's just too big to sue. And it's a direct hit to I think, all kinds of groups. But there were women in Walmart that were obviously upset all the time that's been invested in this. But if they're looking to get parity in that situation, it's not going to happen. So when a company gets as big as Walmart and then they get in the middle of this class action suit, they're saying, look, it's just not going to go down. This is not what's going to happen. What is too big? Why do we keep coming back to this thing? Banks too big to fail. Corporations too big to sue. I guess it's good when you're too big to sue, right? Too big to sue and too big not to bail out. It's the theme. It's a running theme the last couple of years. So it's a big one for Walmart in their favor. And certainly not for all the people who are involved in that class action suit. Again, that decision was 5-4. Any thoughts on the show, send them to me through the website. Go to americatonight.net, click on the email, and then bada bing, you got me.